Ashen to the Moon on October 9th, and have a good evening.
Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
By the way, if you see your mom this weekend, would you be sure and tell her,
Satan! Satan! Satan!
A couple thousand years after his infamous kiss, the paperwork has finally been filed and Judas will get his trial. But Satan is on the witness list. Pacific Theater is proud to present, in a co-production with Pound of Flesh Theater, an extended staged reading of Stephen Adley Gurgis' wildly funny and provocative drama, The Last Days of Judas Iscariot. In a comic courtroom drama that mixes myth and history, the witnesses are called to decide eternal questions of forgiveness, mercy, and damnation.
The Last Days of Judas Iscariot runs from October 7th to 17th at Pacific Theater, 1420 West 12th. For tickets, call 604-731-5518 or visit pacifictheater.org.
Welcome, everybody, to Weir's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. I'm Daryl Wiener. Along with me for, I'm not going to say always, but quite often.
Third week in a row,
Tyler Noble, our sports director here at CITR. Tyler, we've got Ryan Solomon, color commentator for UBC Thunderbird Men's Football, on the line. We'll jump right into it, but... Before we get to Ryan, Tyler, you're the play-by-play guy. UBC loses to Calgary 50-26. Does the score just say it all, or?
Well, no. I think that the Thunderbirds played better than the 50 points against would indicate. They did have some flashes of brilliance on offense. Unfortunately, a number of turnovers were really bad ones, and defensively they again just could not stop the run at all. Both Glavich, the quarterback, and the running back Matt Walter, just had a field day out there, and that was really the story.
Yeah, when your team gives up 378 yards on the ground, it is tough to win. With us on the line, the color commentator for UBC Thunder Men's Football, Ryan Sullivan. Ryan, how you doing today?
Very good. Yourself, Daryl?
I'm not bad. Ryan, you got a baseball update for us? My chance?
I have no baseball update. It's not on TV, I can tell you that.
It's
much.
On Channel 47, Peachtree TV.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I was looking on TSN, Sportsnet. They weren't helping me out.
Yeah, Sportsnet, which is the rights holder in Canada for the baseball playoffs, they're not showing the game on Sportsnet Pacific. They're showing it on Sportsnet West.
What about Peachtree TV?
I didn't know it was on Peachtree. I was watching at home before I came in on Sportsnet West, but I don't have it available in HD, which was kind of a... irked me a little bit, but
poor
whatever.
Poor baby.
I know.
An HD stop. I never thought you were one of them. I never pictured you as one. Ryan, before we get into the game, did you see Curb Your Enthusiasm or Family Guy on the weekend?
I saw the Curb. I didn't see Family Guy again. I saw the Curb.
Okay, good. Not bad. Wasn't bad.
Pretty good.
It wasn't bad.
I like what they're doing with the, it's not quite the reunion you'd expect with Seinfeld. They're kind of working him into the show.
It's fun stuff. All right, football. We got to get into football. We can go. We can get back to Curb if there's still time. Is that okay?
Right,
yeah.
Good.
Have you found the baseball game yet? Are you in front of a TV?
I'm not. I'm actually parked on the side of a road.
Okay. Ryan with us. Ryan, your thoughts. UBC drops to 1-4 on the season. 50-26 losers to the Calgary Dinos. UBC gives up 398 yards on the ground, and which makes that even tougher to swallow. They were only able to counter with 39 yards on the ground. So that's quite a difference.
It is quite a difference. The rushing game definitely was UBC's weak point. But, I mean, I agree with Tyler right off the top. I don't think the scoreboard really tells the story. I thought they looked better than they did the week prior against Regina when they lost 28-17. But, yeah, no, that's, I mean, that was the biggest thing was Dave Boyd could only put up 43 yards on 10 takes. And you look at the other side, I mean, Matt Walter, star running back for Calgary, he puts up 189 yards on the ground. I mean, so if your run game's not working, chances are you're not going to be winning a football game.
Yeah, one of the things that has to be encouraging for Thunderbirds fans is that Billy Green had another a step up as far as his statistics go and continues to develop that chemistry with all of his receivers as well. Nate Darcy continuing to get some touches, and then we saw Jordan Greaves, Spencer Betts, and Mark McVay all reel in touchdown passes.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one bright point. You're right. I mean, Billy Green the week before, 296 starts. This week, 311. So it seems, you know, he's starting to get better and come into his zone, which is great. But the thing with the receiving core, I mean, that, you know, we mentioned during the broadcast, you know, they were starting to, he's looking for some more targets on the field, which was great. But at the same time, his main guy that he was passing to, Jordan Greaves, it was just too little too late. He only had two catches at the half. They really didn't ease him into the offense until the second half, and by then the game was already out of reach. But he had a great day nonetheless and a fantastic second half.
Calgary coming into the game, Ryan, number three team in the country. UBC obviously dropping to 1-4 with the loss. Playoffs still a possibility, but this could be finished as early as this weekend. Was UBC even in the same league as Calgary in this game? That's my question. How far back was the UBC football program compared to the Calgary football program? What'd you think?
Well, I mean, it was just what it was is that you could really see after the game was over and it was all said and done that the difference was just, you know, youth and experience. I mean, UBC is a very young team, and you heard Billy Green saying after the game, you know, these are the guys I'm going to be with for a few years to come still. And on the other side of the football, with Calgary, you know, you got Mark Mueller, you got Matt Walter. These guys have been around for a while. They know the ropes. And, I mean, or sorry, Mueller, I'm looking at last week's stuff, Eric Kalavich.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, this guy's a former CIS MVP, so it was just a difference of experience, it looked like. And literally, it looked like boys against men out there.
Yeah, the Dinos certainly had this confident, calm air to them, whereas the Thunderbirds, a little more panicky on their sideline, if I can use that term. But, Ryan, special teams again plaguing the Thunderbirds in this game.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer Betts, he had a better day than he did a week prior. Spencer Betts last week against Regina put up 28 yards on five returns. This week, 79 on five returns. But, I mean, that's just another downfall. It's, Spencer Betts last year, you know, coming into the end of the season, this guy looked so promising. You know, it was always a highlight reel when he'd have the ball in his hand. But now, I mean, he's starting to let the ball bounce in front of him. When he gets it, he takes a look up. He takes a few extra seconds to make up his mind. He doesn't have that killer instinct that we saw last season, and it's really plaguing him so far.
Yeah, one bad missed field goal as well, although you can probably blame some of that on bad field conditions. Also, inconsistency at the punting game. What do you make of Billy Pavlopoulos? Do the Birds just need to give him some more time to develop?
Well, I mean, the thing with Billy Pavlopoulos that he has going for him is that as a punter, I guess you want to get as many touches as you can, and UBC is really providing them for him because he's punting quite often. I mean, Aaron Ifield on the other side only punted three times. Pavlopoulos punting seven times for 233 yards. But, I mean, you're absolutely right. His foot is just, it's not striking the ball like you'd like it to. The punts are going all over the place, and they're usually fairly short. But, I mean, I guess that comes with experience as well. Pavlopoulos is a young guy. You know, he's not the Sean McIsaac that we know and love and are used to. So it'll take a little time getting used to another young player on the UBC offense, or excuse me, special teams.
Yeah, Tyler, you touched on Billy Green's performance. 26 of 41, had the two interceptions, three touchdowns, 311 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, start with Ryan, the thought is this guy, at least statistically you see it, what are you seeing? He is coming around a bit. I mean, it seems that if he can take that next step, maybe he does need to take two steps next year. They might have something here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is Vancouver. I mean, this is the most bipolar city on earth when it comes to sports. So, I mean, he's a young kid. You got to give him a little bit of time. And, I mean, obviously that was his biggest test so far against the ranked team in Calgary. But, I mean, Billy Green is starting to step it up. I mean, like mentioned, he threw for over 200 yards. That's pretty good for a kid that's just starting to get into the offense. And, you know, people are expecting magic numbers out of him. Well, you know, flat out they shouldn't be because he is a kid and he's just starting to get used to his receivers out there. But if he starts finding these guys a little earlier in the game, and, you know, getting the offense out there and getting, you know, a big play real quick, we can start to see something happen out there. And he's just got to get into the motion of doing that and get experience doing that. And then this team will move up a little bit. It's just the problem with him so far is that he keeps going to the same few guys in the first half. And then finally, when the half ends and UBC is down usually, he goes, okay, well, maybe I'll spread it out a little bit. And that's when the offense starts moving out there.
Yeah, that was a point I was going to make, is that in every game we've seen Billy Green play, it seems like it takes him a whole half to just find his rhythm. And in the Alberta game, thankfully, the defense was able to shut down the Golden Bears, and Green was able to execute a comeback with a lot of help from Dave Boyd, obviously, with the stats he put up in that game. But in this one, they just got into too deep a hole against the Calgary Dinos. Really, in the second half, it was a pretty even game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, like we mentioned, I mean, UBC, the scoreboard doesn't really tell the whole story, and it's just the second half. I mean, UBC came out great in that third quarter. They were strong on defense. They were strong on offense. And then, I mean, once the Calgary got a little bit of separation there, you knew, okay, well, it's going to be a long last 5 minutes here. I'm going to be waiting for a while because Calgary just destroyed them and killed the clock sort of thing. But, you know, UBC has those flashes of brilliance. And it's just been a story of consistency all year long. If they can string some things together and, you know, do it on a consistent basis, we might have a pretty good football team here. But I don't see that happening for the rest of the season. Next season, I think this team will come out of training camp a little bit stronger for sure.
Yeah, Ryan, going into Saskatchewan this weekend, taking on a very good Husky team in what's a very tough place to play in Saskatchewan. The Huskies coming off of a shootout win, or... what does they call it? Is it a shootout?
Overtime. I don't know why it says SO there.
It is kind of a shootout.
Well, yeah, it's the Canadian rules where you get a possession, yeah. And then, yeah.
I'll stay
with overtime,
that.
It's overtime, though.
Nonetheless, Saskatchewan 3-1 on the season. They've won two games in the overtime.
Yeah.
They beat Calgary, too, this
that's
year.
That's right.
Anyways, UBC's got to go there this weekend. What do you think, Ryan? Any chance this weekend?
Well, I mean, it's definitely not going to be a walk in the park. I mean, Saskatchewan... you know, their only loss, they lost by 1 point to Calgary, who, as we all know, just laid a spanking on UBC. So, I mean, it's going to be a very tough game, but you can look at it as another kind of practice scrimmage if you want for Billy Green, and that he can get a lot more experience playing against some good teams. But as far as their chances go, I wouldn't say that they're gonna you know, make the highlight reels really in this game. It's going to be very tough on them, and I wouldn't be shocked if I saw the similar scoreboard to last week against Calgary.
Yeah, and it'll be a little bit tougher for the Birds as well, just with the smaller roster. In the home games, they've been really using the entire 50 men out there. Defensively, is there just too many holes in the front seven, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is. It's just...
That's not to disrespect the players that are lining up there, but, you know, just compared to last year, I mean, they could really use Scott McQuaig right now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to knock them either. I mean, like we've mentioned, it's a young team, but if they can step up their game and just play that much better, and we've seen those flashes, you know, whether it's the offensive side of the ball, defensive, UBC usually has three or four series each that are just strong, and they look like they can contend with anybody in the Canada West. But you know, then it's just those other three, four, or maybe even 10 series other than that in the game that UBC just has their downfall. So, I mean, if these guys can step it up, and especially this week with Saskatchewan, use it as like a practice game, you know, gain some experience, gain some knowledge, and hopefully we'll see something better a little later.
Awesome. Ryan Sullivan. Ryan, thanks so much for doing this. Have a lovely Thanksgiving weekend.
Same to you, boys. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
You do Thanksgiving? You guys do that?
What do you mean?
You have the Thanksgiving.
Well, it's not a huge deal, but yeah, we do the Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm Jewish, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've got a number of relatives on my dad's side of the family down here in Metro Vancouver, so we all assemble if we're in town back home.
We used to do, like, a family friends thing, but because the Jewish high holidays are just before.
Oh, okay.
And Christmas, I got friends that do that, you know.
Right.
I'm against, I don't know. Anyways, on to the football. Yeah. I would have gone on a rant there, way off base. But we'll save that for December.
Wouldn't have been the first time.
We'll save that for December.
By the way, I finally got my wireless internet working here. Just an update on the all eyes on Minnesota right now.
4-3 Minnesota in the bottom of the seventh.
I've got 4-4 in the top of the eighth. The Tigers have put one up here in the top of the eighth. So.
Had to show me up, eh? But you are giving the listeners the update.
Yeah.
Well done there, sir.
Yeah, it's the real focus of sports right now. at the Metrodome.
I missed the divisional play. Yeah. I missed the divisional play. On to the football, though. Mm-hmm. It's just UBC is going to be taking on Saskatchewan this weekend. And, you know, Todd, if you're just looking at statistics,
yeah,
it's actually not faring that badly for UBC.
Yeah, I would say it's a more winnable game than the Calgary game.
Well, Saskatchewan, they beat SFU in a shootout. They mm-hmm. beat Calgary in a shootout. They beat Regina by, what, 1 point, I think it was?
Mm-hmm.
And then they've lost the game by over 20 points. Who was it? Was it Regina they beat by a point? That's the one I'm not positive about. Let's just check it here. They did. They beat Regina by a point. They lost Alberta by 20 points, which says something right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, which it says a lot about the parity in the Canada West. Anybody can win on any given day.
Now, here are the stats I like for UBC's favor. Is Saskatchewan only averaging 14 points per game
yeah.
this season? UBC at 17 points per game, so only a 3-point differential there. Defensively, though, this is a tough Saskatchewan team. They're the number one defensive team in the Canada West.
Mm-hmm.
So at 19 points per game, UBC's at 33. But, you know, here's a stat right here is UBC obviously has had so much trouble stopping the run this year. That has definitely been, at least statistically, their big Achilles heel. Is UBC last against the run? This stat here, Tyler, is yeah. just, I mean, 234 yards against per game.
And that's miles more than the other teams. And the touchdowns allowed.
Yeah, it's over 100. It's over 100. It's just under, I'm sorry, 150 more yards per game than Calgary's giving up.
Yep.
However, Saskatchewan, last in the Canada West, at 62 yards rushing per game. So
yeah, and
maybe that'll even out.
And I think Coach Gavaya is very... pleased with how his receivers have performed and how they're gelling with quarterback Billy Green. So if they're able to get the passing game going and not give up too many yards on the ground against Saskatchewan, this could be a very close one.
And you caught up with head coach Ted Gavaya.
A little bit earlier this afternoon, I caught up with UBC football head coach Ted Gavaya talking about how things went against Calgary and what lies ahead for the three games remaining. First of all, Coach, just want to get your evaluation again of the game against Calgary, 50-26, the final score, but perhaps more positives to take from the game than what the score would indicate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're as good as advertised. I mean, they're ranked number 3 in the country for a reason, and obviously they were tough to stop, but at the same time, I thought we did some good things on the offensive side of the ball.
Give me some examples there. What were some of the bright points of the game that stuck out for you?
Well, I thought we were pretty explosive throwing the football. I definitely thought Billy played a great game, and our receivers improved dramatically over the past couple weeks. So that's pretty encouraging. And then this week we got to focus a little bit more on getting our ground game going.
Yeah, not much of a run game against Calgary. Is the fact that it was such a drop off compared to say the Alberta game, is that a concern for you, or is there just some little things?
You know what? It's not really a concern because, you know, like I said, when everyone was telling me that, you know, we need to run the ball 50 times a game, it's, you know, it's 3-down football, and you need to be able to do both. And I'm confident that we can run the ball when we need to, and we're starting to be able to throw when we need to. So, no, we're working towards being more balanced, but we do need to improve in some areas, but I'm not concerned that way.
What about special teams? Again, a number of times in the game, your returners are not catching the ball in the air. A thought on special teams?
Well, it's been an area of concern for us all year. We missed an easy field goal. We were inconsistent in our punt game, and you know, those are areas that we continue to get work at, get better at and work at, or you know, we address them in the offseason through recruiting.
With the record that you currently have and the teams remaining, it seems like almost an impossible task to make the playoffs. What is the approach going forward? What is there to play for?
Well, actually, we were 2 wins out of second place. So, you know, if we can make the playoffs, you know, that's still the goal, and the goal is to win this weekend. Our goals don't change weekly, and if we're out of the playoffs, the goals are still the same.
Facing the Saskatchewan Huskies, a thought on what you're expecting from them?
Well, I mean, you know, they're pretty consistent in terms of what they do on defense. You know, they've done the same thing for years, and they just try to beat you up, to be honest with you. They're pretty good. And on offense, you know, they've been struggling with certain things, but we expect them to be a pretty tough opponent, that's for sure.
Pretty much the same lineup you'll field for the game this week?
Yeah, minus 10 players, right, because we're on the road. We're looking to go in with the same group and hopefully get a better result.
Okay, good luck against those Huskies. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Tyler.
UBC head coach Ted Gavaya speaking to us a little bit earlier today. 1-4 last in the Canada West Conference, an uphill battle, but he was saying near the end there, Daryl, that two wins puts them into second place. So he's certainly not throwing in the towel, even though following the game in his comments on Saturday, he described his team's chances as slim to none.
Well, you look at where they are, and he didn't like that question.
I don't think he did. No. If you listen to the reaction,
there was a delay there.
And the well, actually. But
yeah. It's true.
It's true. I mean, there's, you know, you got Saskatchewan. They're one of the ranked teams. And then you've got two teams you've already lost to.
And in essence, you're, excuse me. In essence, you're two wins out mm-hmm. of second place.
Yeah.
Because you've played five games. Saskatchewan plays four.
Yeah.
But there's only three games left.
No, you need to run the table.
Yeah, you need to run the table.
And maybe still need help.
Well, you look at it going forward is UBC's 1-4. Regina is in third. Top four make the playoffs, of course. Regina in third at 2-2. Manitoba in fourth at 2-2. Alberta in fifth, 2-3. SFU, 6th at 2-3. But you're looking at Regina and Manitoba.
Yep.
Each are a game ahead of you, and they've played one less game. So, basically, as we said, Tyler, you got to run the table.
Yep.
You get SFU, you get Manitoba, but it is going to be an awful tough game in Saskatchewan this weekend. If they can pull it off, great. Then we can start talking about the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things with UBC making the playoffs, you just kind of feel it. It's like, show me something.
Yeah.
Then we can talk about you making the playoffs. But,
well, and the rest of the schedule matters as well. I mean, you've got SFU and Regina playing. Yep. Those are teams you're in the battle with, and somebody's going to get points in that one. You've got Manitoba and Calgary. Well, you can root for Calgary in that one and keep Manitoba in the mess down at the bottom of the pack. And then next weekend, you've got Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. I'm skipping ahead a week. Yeah, Saskatchewan playing Manitoba the following week, Regina and Alberta, and then the Shrumble between UBC and SFU. So people are going to keep, the teams are going to keep gaining points, right? It's tough.
You basically need, obviously, to win out. No question about that. And, you know, it's very doubtful that they're going to be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
But then you look at it is you're going to need Calgary and Saskatchewan to win out.
Yeah.
They're going to have to beat everybody they play.
Except for this week.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. And then ideally one of, I guess you'd say Regina wins out might be your ideal. Just so.
Yeah, you're aiming for fourth, basically.
Yeah, so that's what you're just hoping one of those teams. So I think this week you'd have to hope that Regina beats SFU. Or maybe, I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, Regina plays.
You get SFU once more?
Yeah, Regina plays SFU this week, and they play Alberta this week. So those are two games where you think, okay, the Rams are probably the favorites. But then they've got Calgary and Saskatchewan to finish.
Yeah.
So, mind you, Calgary and Saskatchewan could have their playoff position solidified by then, too. So,
nonetheless, a very difficult uphill battle for the UBC Thunderbird men's football team. In a season, Tyler, that it didn't start with optimism, but we had optimism after week two. You saw the win, Edmonton. You saw that win, right?
The fact that they were able to come back from so far behind, and the defense was so solid in shutting down the Golden Bears, and the composure shown by Billy Green, which he's continued to show, but since that game, they just have not been able to stop the run. And other teams are starting to zero in on Dave Boyd and shut him down.
Yeah, and you look at it, 164 points given up. In five games. Injuries on defense. What's been the big problem on defense here? Because they're just giving up way too many yards on the ground. Like, it's crazy how many yards they're giving
up on the
ground.
Just inexperience. I mean, when your free safety, Alex Babalos, is leading the way in tackles, the fact that he's having to, the fact that the other team is reaching the secondary so often is you know, a poor sign. Obviously, the linebackers and the defensive line are, I mean, they're putting in a good effort out there. They're working hard, but they're not plugging the holes a lot of the time.
So, statistically, though, I just want to go back to it. Billy Green, he's done nothing, because this is a key thing for this team going forward. You got to have that quarterback, and you know, we've looked at it. He's played more games as a sophomore than any other sophomore in this league in the Canada West. So when you look at it, though, this is a guy that next year, it's third year time. I mean, it's time to now.
Well, as long as the group around him remains the same as well. And, I mean, there's depth in the receiver position and there is depth in the running backs as well. So if the offensive line can continue to give him good protection and the defense is able to keep more points off the board, then be a much different story for the Thunderbirds.
Oh, well. Oh, well. Yeah, Billy Green, this is a stat where he's actually done okay this year. He's fourth in the Canada West in yards passing at 1,020 through the five games. That's not too bad. Just over 200 yards per game. That's not too bad.
One of the receivers who continues to put up numbers and be one of the bright spots for the Thunderbirds, Jordan Greve, caught nine passes in the game against Calgary, 127 yards and one touchdown. He's now eighth in the conference with 59 receiving yards average per game. He scored touchdowns in all of the home games this season for the UBC Thunderbirds, and I spoke with him earlier today. Jordan, first of all, just to get you to maybe give me your evaluation of the game versus Calgary, a 50-26 score, but more positive things to take from the game than the score would indicate.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially when you're playing the number three team in the country, and our offense has been having a bit of trouble this year, but to put up that many points on them was definitely a big positive for us. We started to get things rolling, and the team started looking pretty good.
It seemed like the team came out a much different group in the second half. What was said in the locker room at halftime about going up against the Dinos? Because you guys weren't out of the game after 30 minutes.
Yeah. In the locker room, we just wanted to get in the no-quit mentality. So, I mean, no matter what the score was, we wanted to come out in the second half and prove that we were a team that could play with anyone in the country, and Calgary was a good place to show it.
One of the things in the game, though, was time of possession. The Dinos had an edge there. You guys, the UBC offense, spent quite a bit of time, good portions of the game, watching the Calgary offense. What was that like, watching a Heck Crichton winner out there and the running game really chewing it up against you guys?
Well, it's always tough for an offense to sit on the sideline, especially when we know, like, if we go on the field and go two and out and got to put our defense back on the field right away. You always feel bad for the defense. The guys are tired, and you got to sit on the sideline, and there's nothing you can do but watch and hope that the defense can shut them down and we can get the ball back and hold it for as long as we can.
You yourself, though, you've been a factor in pretty well all the games for UBC this season. How do you feel your game is coming along?
I think one of the big things is the timing with Billy. It's really starting to develop. I mean, we're both young. Haven't played together before university, and I think we're just starting to mesh now, and things are starting to get on track.
How do you approach the rest of the season here? It looks like a shot at the playoffs is slim to none. You've got some tough games coming up. What is the mindset?
Well, the mindset with every game is no one likes to lose, so looking forward to the season, we all want to give it everything we got and hopefully grab a few more wins, something to build on for next year, and you never know with the West. All the games are crazy, and anything can happen.
Next opponent is the Saskatchewan Huskies. Just a quick comment on what you're expecting from them.
Well, they're pretty much the same team every year. They play a lot of base defenses, but they got a lot of fans out there. It's going to be a cold climate, and it's always a fun game, a good atmosphere to play in going to Saskatoon.
All right, Jordan, thank you for your time, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks a lot.
Receiver Jordan Greve of the UBC Thunderbirds football team talking about the game against Calgary, how his game has been coming along as a UBC Thunderbird, and what they're expecting from the Saskatchewan Huskies on Friday.
And Tyler, you give up 50 points, but they still have the Canada West Defensive Player of the Week.
Yes, safety Alex Babalos, I referred to him earlier. He was named the Canada West Defensive Football Athlete of the Week yesterday. 13.5 tackles against the Calgary Dinos. Yeah, definitely he was out there all over the field. Unfortunately, not able to do it all by himself. He did earn half a sack as well. His two tackles for a loss set the Dinos back 20 yards. Just a notable statistic there. The second year from Delta now leads the Canada West in tackles with 37.5 total, 32 of them solo. and tackles per game. He also leads the conference with 7.5 per game. So definitely encouraging to see how Alex Babalos has taken over the free safety role.
UBC, Tyler, with the loss, drops to 1-4 on the season. They will travel to Saskatchewan to take on a 3-1 Huskies. This game can be seen on Shaw TV.
On Shaw TV, 6 o'clock Pacific time is the start.
And when's our next CITS sports broadcast? What are we?
We are on this Friday with women's hockey, which we'll be getting into a little bit later on in the show. The UBC Thunderbirds opening at the Father Bauer Arena, as it is. Building availability in the main rink being an issue there, but they will be taking on the Calgary Dinos, which returned to the Canada West after being away for a number of seasons. So,
Who's bumping them?
What do you mean?
Who's bumping them out?
I'm not sure, actually.
Is it Tony Robbins again? That was last
year. Yes, that's right.
That was last year.
I'm not sure. I'm still working to find out what happened there. But
see, if you had gone to the Tony Robbins seminar, you would have been motivated enough.
Yeah. No, I know they've got. I know that.
I didn't go. I'm not motivated.
I know that the school's got a lot of concerts booked into the main Thunderbird Arena. So,
like who? We got.
Well, I've just over time
Oasis?
Just been. I'm not sure.
Radiohead?
I don't have concrete examples, Daryl, but it's been in use a lot. So
Muse,
anyway.
Arctic Monkeys. I know my name.
As long as it'll draw a crowd.
There you go. Yeah. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break here. Before we go, though, Tyler, last thoughts. So UBC loses 50-20. They dropped to 50-26. Sorry, they dropped to 1-4 on the season. We knew this was going to be a rebuilding year. We're hoping they're going to make the playoffs. Hope for the future, though? I mean, is that what we're...
Yeah, absolutely. They need to... if they can add some depth in the front seven defensively, that will really help them out. Otherwise, just a little more experience with the guys they have will help them. And the offense overall continues to make strides every game.
Through 7.5 in Minnesota, we are knotted up at 4. As Joe Nathan just got a big strikeout.
I love the one-game playoffs, Daryl. You know, it's just that's the right way to decide a division. None of this points for and against, or runs for and against, I should say, in baseball, or head-to-head record. If you're tied, winner takes all in one game. It's great.
Yeah, I don't like the wild card.
So you're like the old...
Yeah, the old system ruled.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was great. 162 games.
League's bigger now, though. They got to get more teams in the playoffs.
No, no. They added Florida and Colorado. What, so, that was the tipping point?
So you feel that a four-team playoff is good enough?
I never had a problem with it. It was awesome.
Except that but that means that so many teams never have a shot at the playoffs.
Because they suck.
Well, and that's the other argument, right?
But the point is it takes away from... I mean... You were too young, I'm sure. Is 1993 the Atlanta Braves and San Francisco Giants had a playoff race? It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The Braves won 104, and in the NL West, and they were in that division at the time. And the Giants won 103 with a newly steroided up Barry Bonds.
That was apparently the first
year he started doing them. And he was awesome for San Francisco. It's interesting with Barry Bonds. He apparently started doing the steroids after he got his big contract in San Francisco. I'll never understand that.
But you remember in 1992, he played for the Pirates, Game 7 of the NLCS against Atlanta, and he was the one trying to throw out Sid Bream at the plate there and was a little bit behind on the throw, obviously. But, he's a very skinny-looking Barry Bonds at that time.
He might have been clean in San Francisco. I don't think he started till the late 90s. My point is that pennant race was just... It was incredible. It was top of the walk, and they used to have those. And the Braves and Dodgers had one. The Blue Jays used to be in them all the time in the late 80s. I mean, the Blue Jays had a year, 1987, where they went to Tiger Stadium, and it came down to the last day of the season, and the Blue Jays had to win to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
No, to tie and force a playoff.
Right.
They were up like a game or two going in, and it was just head-to-head. Blue Jays, Tigers for the division, and I think Jimmy Key pitched a three-hitter for Toronto and lost 1-0.
Yeah.
He gave up a home run. Frank Tanana, I believe, beat him, but I could be wrong.
Minnesota Twins went on to win the World Series that year.
Yeah, they beat, just to talk meaningless about it, it was one of the more interesting trades in sports history. Was this a good trade by Detroit? They traded for Doyle Alexander at the late in the year. I don't know if it was trade deadline. He went like 9-0, 10-0 for them. They made the playoffs. They traded John Smoltz to Atlanta for him. Was that a good deal? That's sort of, you know that
yeah.
debate.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
That debate. Anyways.
Take a break.
You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. When we're back, we're getting into a bunch of UBC Thunderbird athletics. We've got soccer.
Soccer, men's and women's. Hockey as well. We mentioned the women's hockey. We'll have them on our air this Friday night as they open their season against the Calgary Dinos. The men's team also opens their season. They'll be on the road in Regina this weekend. So we'll have all that for you.
Yeah, Milan Dragicevic, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, will be with us at about 20 to 6. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Desperately wanting to spend your Wednesday night somewhere besides the pit?
CITR and Discorder have a solution for you. The first Wednesday night of each month is Discorder Night at the Astoria. On October 7th, come check out World Club with special guests Walter TV and Boogie Monster. The kitchen is staying open late, and there will be drink specials all night long. Show starts at 10 p.m.
Not all your problems are solved, but at least you know what you're doing Wednesday night.
Another night's work well done. So easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you care.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pick my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could, the only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
Since you listen to CITR, everyone knows you've got excellent taste in music. You've probably got a great record collection too. But think of all the money you've spent on music over the years. You're probably just waiting until your next paycheck to get new albums you want to hear, aren't you?
Well, it's time you start getting the discounts you deserve. With the Friends of CITR card, get up to 15% off of Beat Street, Vinyl, Scratch, Red Cat, and Audio Pile Records, as well as 16 other great local businesses. Friends cards are only $15 or free with the CITR station membership. Become a friend of CITR. Go to www.citr.ca and click Friends of for more details.
Welcome, everybody, back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. So we're back? We're ready?
We're back, yes.
So, Tyler, we got, once again, we've got UBC Thunderbird Women's Hockey on the air this Friday.
We have, the UBC Thunderbirds looking to build upon some successes from last season. They did make the... What the heck is that?
You know what it is? You know what that was?
Okay.
I'll tell you what that was, and I apologize. I'm watching. I've got the ESPN. You've got the MLB feed.
Yeah.
I've got the ESPN feed, and I guess the inning ended.
Yeah. Yes, the commercial came up.
So they just moved a commercial. Got the pod down now. That was a reasonable error, Tyler.
That's a good bloop.
That was a reasonable error. You were saying the whole Canada West gets underway this weekend.
Yes, the Thunderbirds made the playoffs last year. Obviously, the top two teams in the conference a little bit too much for the rest of the pack as far as women's hockey goes. The Alberta Panthers and the Manitoba Bisons too much, but the Birds made it there, got lots out of their very young group, and are looking to build upon that come this season. This is it being the second full season for the head coach, Nancy Wilson, so some positives from last year. One of the things is they really had to work their starting goaltender, Melinda Choi, quite hard through basically her entire time at UBC. Now she's got a little bit more depth behind her at the goaltending position, and maybe she won't have to carry the load so much.
And they're taking on Calgary, back new to the Canada West, so...
Yeah, that'll balance off the schedule a little bit, and the Canada West women's hockey, just like the men's side of the conference, there's not a lot of teams involved. It's not like basketball or volleyball where it's a big league. So it adds another team and a little more dynamic to the Canada West women's hockey.
So that'll be on this Friday.
This Friday, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 puck drop from the Doug Mitchell Thunderbird Winter Sports Center. The Father Bauer Rink will be hosting the game, so a little throwback for the Thunderbirds. So they go back into the old rink, the old barn, as you call it.
Cool. On to soccer.
Yeah, on to soccer. The UBC Thunderbirds, they're 4-3-0. They're going to try and duplicate their success from 2 weekends ago when they defeated the Victoria Vikes and the Fraser Valley Cascades. The Birds welcome Fraser Valley Friday night, 7:15 p.m., before they host their longtime rivals from Victoria on Saturday. Also a 7:15 start to the match. UBC currently sits fourth in the Canada West with a game in hand on the third-place Vikes and second-place Alberta Golden Bears. So a pair of victories this weekend could go a long way in moving the T-Birds up the table, and a full 6 points and a Vikes loss to the Trinity Western Spartans on Friday would help propel UBC into third. Last Friday, the T-Birds lost a hard-fought 2-1 decision to the first-place Spartans. They were without a number of players in the game, and this is head coach Mike Mosher's reaction following that 2-1 loss to Trinity. He was asked if the Spartans stifled his team even though UBC had more possession.
I think we could have done better with, we certainly had more possession, but we got to do something with that possession. You're right. Just a little bit more creativity in the attacking third of the field, needs to come. But and I think we knew exactly what we're going to get from this team. You know, they're a very hard-working team, and the two goals that they get come about because of their hard work. And, you know, just can't make mistakes on clearances or, you know, small little mistakes is where those two goals came from. But, give a guy like Poe credit. I mean, we knew he's the guy. And he's the guy who goes and sticks his nose in the places where you're going to score goals. And it's exactly it. I mean, shoot, the second goal, I think we headed it off of his head. But he's there challenging, 3-4 yards off the goal line.
So that's UBC head coach Mike Mosher. He's referring to Spartans player Nathan Pogue, who scored the first half goals for Trinity Western. Matt Allard replied for UBC in injury time of the first half, and then no scoring in the second half. One other clip here we have from Mike Mosher, the head coach of the men's soccer team. He was asked if his team's record of 4-3 is an accurate indicator of how good his team is.
I don't think it is. I think we've got quality players within the side, and all the games we've lost, we've been right in there. So we got to just keep getting better through the season, and come playoff time, we got to be able to win these tight games.
So there you go, UBC soccer men's head coach Mike Mosher. They host the Fraser Valley Cascades Friday night here at UBC at Thunderbird Park, and then Victoria at home on Saturday. They've already beaten both teams earlier this season. In what has been an up-and-down season for UBC, their quality of play going unrewarded due to lack of finish. UBC's 4-1 since opening the season with two straight losses. So that's the men's soccer story. As far as the women's goes, we have a clip here from Dick Mosier, the head coach of the women's soccer team. They were on the road recently, just finding the information here. And Coach Mosier talks about getting four of a possible 6 points on that road trip.
Well, obviously, we'd have certainly liked to get the six. But, you know, Manitoba, they were, when we went in there, they were top of the league. You know, 1-1 tie is not all bad. I'd say very average weekend, not on the downside, but in that we certainly would have liked to get the full 6 points, because if you look at the standings, we're a fair ways back. We've got some games in hand, but we're going to need to win most of them.
And on Sunday, after taking a 1-0 lead into the half, the Thunderbirds got two goals from Caitlin Davey in the first 9 minutes of the second half and added two more in a 5-0 victory over the Regina Cougars. So they really stepped it up for the Sunday game.
Yeah, Coach mentions, because this is a team that's, won national championships in very recent years. UBC currently sitting 6 points out of the fourth and final playoff spot. They do have two games in hand on, I believe it's Manitoba. So obviously big games for this team the rest of the way. They're going to be playing, what is it, Tyler? I got Fraser Valley and UVic.
Yeah, just like the men.
Yeah, this weekend. And UVic, a very good team at 7-5-1. They're second in the conference. Fraser Valley also pretty decent, 4-2-1. So UBC women's soccer in a little bit of a tough spot right now. It's 6 points behind Alberta for the fourth and final playoff spot. But Alberta does UBC has two games in hand. However, Fraser Valley 1 point behind Alberta, and they've got a game in hand. So pretty crucial games for that team this weekend. Games running out if they're going to make the playoffs.
5 o'clock starts for the women's at Thunderbird Parks both nights, Friday versus Fraser Valley, Saturday versus Victoria. The Cascades, they're one of the surprises of the season in the Canada West. They already have one more point than they did all of last season, and they're well on their way to topping their 19 goals scored last season with 13 through 7 games. However, all of their victories have come against teams below them in the standings, so that's something to take note. And as far as Victoria, they're tied for the league in goal differential at plus 12 with 16 goals for and only 4 conceded. Their only loss so far this season was a 2-1 defeat to Manitoba. However, they come into this weekend off a disappointing 0-0 draw against the Alberta Pandas.
Cool. And women's field hockey lost a game this weekend. I see.
I'm seeing that myself here.
Yeah, you see that with women's field hockey. Obviously a dominant team. They beat Alberta 3-2 on, I guess it was the Friday, and then they lost in Edmonton 1-0 to the Alberta Pandas. UBC, their first loss of the season, they dropped to 5-1 with that defeat.
And a game played not on AstroTurf, but played on field turf. It's the University of Alberta plays field hockey on the same field that they play their football games at, Foot Field, where we were to do the broadcast for the football game at the beginning of September. And playing on field turf is a bit of a sensitive issue for head coach Hash Kanji, and sure enough, the first loss of the season comes there.
Yeah, UBC will play Calgary this weekend. They should rebound, as Calgary is 1-4-1. They will be playing at the University of Calgary.
With the win there, the Pandas claim third place in the Canada West standings. They're now just 1 point back of the Victoria Vikes. But as it has been for the last number of years, UBC and Victoria are really always the two front runners in the Canada West Conference. What are we pointing at here?
Interview. We got an interview to play.
I didn't. Oh, with who?
Nancy Wilson.
Yeah, well, you gotta set me up on that.
I was pointing to the screen.
Yeah, but I can't see the screen. Can't see what you're pointing out.
It's clear to me.
All right. Let's set that one up. Yeah,
Try again.
Let's try that again.
Hold on. Okay. I'm pointing now.
Okay, the UBC Thunderbirds women's hockey team heads into the 09-10 season looking to build on the successes of last season. As I mentioned earlier, the head coach Nancy Wilson is expecting a similar jump. Last year they had 14, 18-year-olds, most of the roster, so that's a very young group, and they still managed to get into the playoffs and play fairly consistently throughout the season. So now that they're stronger and more experienced, it can only mean good things. We'll see how it actually unfolds in reality. Last week, our Jeff Sargent caught up with the head coach, Nancy Wilson, and they discussed what lies ahead for this season.
I guess first things first, the regular season not that far off here, starting in a week's time. What can we expect to see from this team? What kind of changes have been made to the roster, and what have you done in the off season?
Well, I think that we've brought in a few new recruits who definitely have some good skills that I think improve our team. In particular, on defense, we have Cruikshank and Kaposi, who have come in from our U18 Team BC. They're both skilled with the puck. They have speed. They can make that first pass that we're looking for. And I think together with the vets that we have remaining from last year, we're certainly stronger on defense this year. Up front, we've added some strength with a young girl by the name of Swanson from the Kootenays. And we still have Choi and Bonang, Pickford, those folks who are really the speed from last year. And we saw last weekend in our tournament at U of A that we have some players now that can put the puck in the net. And what I'm really impressed with this year is the team speed that we have. The players from last year are just much more mature. We had such a young team last year, and we still have a young team. So, I'm expecting that we still have to mature a bit and whatnot. But overall, I'm very happy with what I've seen so far in our preseason.
So is that sort of a goal for you to work sort of from the back end out, obviously, with Choi and Ned and a beefed-up defense? Is that sort of the mentality you're going with here?
Well, the goal in the off season was to certainly strengthen our back end and to also find some backup for Choi. And I think we've done that with a young girl by the name of Katie Schertzer. She played a game and a half in Edmonton this past weekend and did quite well. And she's getting stronger and stronger as we move along here. So, as I said, I think that from the back end, we're certainly stronger, and our front end is a lot more confident than it was last year.
And what is your goal for the team this season? As you mentioned, it is still a very young team. Obviously, making the playoffs has got to be front of mind, I suppose. But what are your goals for this season?
We would like to challenge our top teams in our conference, Alberta and Manitoba, really challenge them to take their spots. So that's our goal this year, because we feel that we can be much more competitive this year, and so that's what we're looking to do is can really compete against the top teams that have already set the benchmark.
And I was speaking recently with Milan, and this is something I asked him as well, was competing now again in the brand new rink and hopefully using that to your advantage as well, and hopefully get more fans out there. And do you think that the Olympics can really be a draw and be a boost for you?
Well, I certainly hope so. We need to get the student body more involved in our games, and I think that those involved in doing that job have done a good job to date. But certainly with the Olympics coming, it's going to draw much more attention to the arena, to the new facility. It's a beautiful facility. But I think the challenge is trying to encourage the student body to support their hockey teams.
And opening up at home next weekend, I guess getting out to a good start to the season is important as well, instead of trying to work out of a hole.
Exactly. We're going up against Calgary, which is a new team to the CIS Western Conference. We know, have a very competitive team. They've had some preseason games against Saskatchewan and Lethbridge and come out ahead on those games. So we know that Calgary is going to be strong in terms of team speed as well, and will undoubtedly, they're coached by Daniel Goyette, and I know that there's going to be attention to detail, attention to systems and whatnot. So we're going to have to be on our game, and we're looking for a good start out of the gate. So we're very excited, though, to get going.
Well, thanks so much, Nancy, and we look forward to a great season.
Great. Thanks so much, Jeff.
That's our Jeff Sargent speaking with the head coach of the UBC women's hockey team, Nancy Wilson. They take on the Calgary Dinos this weekend at Thunderbird Arena. 7:30 is the puck drop for both games, Friday and Saturday night. We'll have the Friday one on air and online at CITR.ca. And on the first of our CITR Sports Fridays as well here on 101.9 FM. And then the Saturday rematch we'll have web only at CITR.ca.
Yeah. So, what are the expectations for the women's hockey team this year?
At least to make the playoffs again, if they can move up from the number four position into number three, and perhaps trying to win a playoff series for the first time in a while, that would probably be the most reasonable goal for them this season, I think.
Well, our next guest in about 15 minutes' time will be the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, Milan Dragicevic. Mm-hmm. UBC's men's hockey team will be getting their season underway this weekend at the University of Regina. Regina lost their first two games by a combined score of 14-5, but they played the University of Alberta, which is the perennial powerhouse in this league. So it'll be Milan Dragicevic will be with us, and this is going to be a very interesting year. A lot of expectations I do have for this UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team this year. There's some new players on the team. They no longer have their leading scorer from recent years, Daryl May, no longer with the team. But, you know, it's going to be a lot tougher on them in that only four of the seven teams now.
Yeah, this is the big, big difference now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for this team, I mean, there's really no other way to put it. So we'll be talking to head coach Milan Dragicevic momentarily, and you know, Tyler, you look at this UBC roster, and, you know, we got a new goalie, Jordan White, on the team. The defense is pretty much back intact. There are some new faces up front. He's got another NCAA player here, Wyatt Hamilton. Like to ask about this guy. And, you know, that's another topic I'm going to want to ask Coach Dragicevic about is, you know, we ask all these coaches these questions, NCAA. Well, it's not going to it's going to affect this UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team maybe more than any other team. Mm-hmm. Because A, now you're going to be in the NCAA, but B, it's a whole new roster. You lose pretty much your entire team. So I want to get his
take. Yeah, I can't take the major junior players anymore Canada. No. So
very few of players, very few of these guys. But UBC men's hockey will be getting their season underway this Friday versus the University of Regina, Regina 0-2, and, you know, right out of the chute, big games because
they're all big now.
You know, you're looking at Alberta, undoubtedly will be one of those four playoff teams. You look at Saskatchewan's always tough in recent years, so we'll see what the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team is made of as early as this weekend.
Absolutely, and then they return home the following weekend, the 16th and 17th. UBC will host the Manitoba Bisons, who they had some success against last year. So, you know, Regina to start, and then Manitoba, and then Lethbridge after that. So, certainly some winnable games there right at the beginning to get themselves off to the right start.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, it'll be you and I for a little longer. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have head coach Milan Dragicevic in about 10 minutes' time. All right, you're listening to 101.9 FM.
Yeah, the state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting, like, more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a cry. Draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind.
You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver, CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
Carrie, darling, Carrie. Carrie Brown, I cried.
Hello.
If I can't marry Carrie Brown, believe Hello. I'd rather die.
You have wandered into the folk oasis. Welcome to it.
Stop the world and let me on.
You are indeed listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I've been trying to keep my mouth shut, baby.
Hello.
I've been trying to change my dark ways, maybe.
Hello.
Yes, 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday night. It's me, Val, hosting 2 hours of eclectic roots music. Oasis.
Welcome everybody back to Winners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. With me right now, Tyler Noble, sports director for CITR Sports. So, Tyler, we got a lot of the broadcast basically get into high gear on weekend nights starting this weekend.
Starts with women's hockey beginning this weekend. Then we've got our first men's hockey games coming up the following weekend in addition to the Shrum Bowl. So that'll be a very busy weekend for us. And then we get into the start of volleyball season after that. So things are really starting to kick into full gear here at UBC.
Basketball just around the
corner. Basketball, October 30th is the first home games against Trinity Western.
And tell everybody that we need help.
Well, yes, if you want to join our volunteer-based operation, we certainly are willing and wanting to bring more people into the fold. Drop us a line, sports@citr.ca is the email address. Whatever experience you have, don't sweat it. Little or lots, it's we can certainly work with you.
There you have it.
Yeah, that's the plug there.
There you have it. So, once again, the head coach of the UBC Thunder men's hockey team, Milan Dragicevic, will be with us momentarily. UBC getting their season underway this Friday and Saturday versus the University of Regina. 28-game season, and once again, Tyler, this is a UBC team. They got going when they had to at the end of last year, had a great playoff series win versus the University of Lethbridge, knocked out after that, but it's going to be another tough season for UBC, perhaps. They've got some newcomers, very interested to find out. They've got Justin McRae, Scott Wasden from the Western League, and Bill Smith is the kid from the NCAA, Max Grassi, who scored pretty well in the BCHL. We'll see. Well, I'm interested to see what Coach Dragicevic said, and they're just coming off of some NCAA competition on the weekend also, so we'll see what happens. Playing the University of Minnesota, Minnesota Duluth. So.
Yeah. It's going to be tough, though, as you mentioned, with the playoff field shrinking as of this season. You can expect Alberta and Saskatchewan are going to be right there among the front runners again. It was Manitoba, Lethbridge, UBC, Regina going 3-4-5-6 last season. The Calgary Dinos missing by just 2 points. So top to bottom, every team in the Canada West you know, has a shot at getting in. So the games in particular where UBC has opponent six times, given the 28-game schedule, they get two of the teams six times, those being the Dinos, which missed the playoffs last year, and the Lethbridge Pronghorns, who they beat in the first round of the playoffs last year. So success against those two teams in particular will make a huge difference on whether the Thunderbirds are in or not.
Yeah, no, and it's also pretty good. They actually have a lot more stability with their lineup than they have in a lot of the recent years. Mm-hmm. They've lost some guys, but a lot of guys returning. So, you know, that's a pretty good sign. It'll be very interesting to see what kind of team we have here on UBC campus this year. So we'll find out very shortly. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, it'll be the head coach of the UBC Thunder men's hockey team to give us a little more insight than we have.
Yep.
Milan Dragicevic will be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Well, the hardcore stuff is just is fast, very aggressive, and loud, you know, music, angry music.
I am your host, Mr. Steeston Mike. Welcome to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. I'm here every Tuesday.
6 to 8 p.m.
Playing some punk and hardcore for you. If you want to hear something, feel free to give me a call at 604-822-2487. or swing by FletcherHead.net and send us an email with a request.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
Industrial. Goth. Metal. DJ Drake is back, live and loud on the Vampire's Ball. Friday nights, 2 to 4 a.m., right here on CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hails and horns, over and out.
Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Thursday night only, Thunderbird Radio Hell.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jay, how's it going?
All right, I guess.
I didn't think I would bump into you in the street.
No, usually on Thursday nights, I'm listening to Thunderbird Radio Hell.
So am I.
Yeah, usually the radio has a show on at 9 p.m. to 11.
9 p.m. to 11 p.m., that's right.
It's a pretty good show.
Is that the show with the live bands?
Yeah, it sounds like there's talking between the band and the guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Interview with bands while they're still alive.
I'll check it out.
Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Big government and big pharma have entered into a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to big pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces, all in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so big pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show / podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You either you've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Is how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
Welcome, everybody, back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio. With us on the line, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, Milan Dragicevic. They'll be getting their regular season underway this Friday at the University of Regina. Regina 0-2 to start the year. Got swept on the weekend to the university by the University of Alberta. Coach, how you doing?
Well, we're doing okay. We're
We're 1-4 in preseason. Not too happy with that. We just got back Monday morning, and now we're getting ready for the big Cougars in Regina. So it should be an exciting time for us. Regular season is starting.
There you go. And, Coach, before we get into this weekend, took on, as you mentioned, the Minnesota Duluth. I always have trouble saying that one. Minnesota Duluth. You lost 4-0 to them. It was 2-0 going into the third period. And then you took on a very famous team, the Minnesota. It is still the Golden Gophers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Minnesota Gophers.
Yeah, there you go. You lost 6-1 to them in a crowd, Coach, in front of about 7,000 people there?
Yeah, 7,000. They had their typical college atmosphere. It was a Sunday afternoon game. A lot of people stayed home and watched the NFL, but typically they averaged 10,500, and you couldn't tell there were 7,000. You thought there were 16,000 with the atmosphere that they had. It was pretty incredible.
Coach, for us Canuck fans, how's Jordan Schrader look?
Jordan Schrader scored a nice goal against us. He roofed it on Frankie Tuot, our goalie, and he played exceptionally well. He's really skilled. He moves the open spaces, and he's going to be a treat for the fans to watch in a couple of years when he progresses and becomes a man and gets the man strength.
Cool. Milan Dragicevic with us right now. Coach, let's get into your team this year. There's more stability, it seems, with your lineup this year than in some of the years past. You have lost some players, including your leading scorer over the last several years, Daryl May. You also lost your second leading scorer from last year, Matt Allen. How's the team looking coming into this year?
Different outlook this year. We picked up some players that we thought could fill the void as being good defensive centermen. And Scott Wasden and Justin McRae, they're both captains last year in Spokane and Kamloops, and they're just solid players that bring a defensive specialist mentality where they can win faceoffs. And one of the things that we really want to focus on was to increase our defensive game, and by bringing in centermen that can work down low and can understand defensive systems, that's what we really want to accomplish, and we got two really good character guys in that.
And on defense, Coach, a lot of stability back here on the blue line from last year, hey?
You know what? We got 7 returning players, all of which, played a key role last year, and that's probably the strength of our hockey team is the back end with 7 veterans and Frankie Tuot, who was our number one goalie last year after Christmas. So we feel very comfortable with our defense and our number one goaltender. We're going to have to score by committee up front. We've juggled the lines a little bit to get more balance, and, we feel that... That certain individuals are just going to have to be their best every night for us to compete and win.
How hard is it going to be this year, Coach, in the Canada West? Obviously, only 4 teams making the playoffs this year. I mean, this almost puts an urgency to almost every game, doesn't it?
Well, you know what? In 28 league game schedule, it's urgency every night. So, but I guess this emphasis a little bit more urgency because of the 4 teams making the playoffs. You don't want to be out of this thing by Christmas time or late November. Every game right now is a 4-point game, especially against Regina and teams that we should be able to compete with and teams that, we can beat. And there's no question that teams like Regina, Manitoba, Calgary, and even Lethbridge are going to be fighting for those 3rd and 4th spots. And Alberta and Saskatchewan typically have probably over 20 years have finished 1st or 2nd, so...
Coach, you mentioned up front you had a big breakout year from Jeff Lynch last year, but 2 guys who, had high expectations for, battled some injuries during the regular season, but they really had the big playoffs. I'm talking about, of course, Tyler Ruel and Brandon Campos. How are these guys looking to fit into your team this year?
Well, they're both going to be top 6 forwards for us. Tyler Ruel playing with Jeff Lynch and Justin McRae. I feel that line can play against anybody's line in Canada West and not just play but have success. And right now we've got Dalton Pajak and Max Grassi and Brandon Campos playing together. They're 3 offensive players that can really produce a high, potent offensive line because they all got skill and decent chemistry. And that's what we expect from our top 6 forwards is to produce offense. And Brandon Campos, he scored 70 points in the Western Hockey League. There's no reason why he can't get 25, 30 points for us this year.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyler Pajak. There's another guy who battled injuries for you guys last year. Obviously something you're going to have to avoid. It's really bit you in the butt last year. Anything you can do as a coach to avoid more injuries? Or
no, just last year, as you know and everybody knows, we had 7 guys out for 2 months, and then it really kicked us. And when we got everyone healthy in the second half, we became a pretty good hockey team. And the guys know what it's like to win. The culture of winning has winning that playoff last year, 3 games all in overtime on the road, you know, really open these guys up the eyes of how hard it is to win on the road, and we've built some culture of winning and the attitudes, and you know, the new guys have really fit in well. So we expect big things right from the get-go.
So Justin McRae, the newcomer, will be playing on really your top line right out of the chute, eh?
Yeah, you know, because we lost Jordan Burns, we lost Daryl May, you know, and both of them had a big impact in our hockey team last year, and we were looking for centermen to fill that void. So Justin's a good player. He's a third-rounder by Carolina. Unfortunately, this year he went to Carolina's camp and got hurt in the very first day, and they sent him home within a week. So, you know, I guess maybe that's a blessing for us, because if he would have stayed and healthy, you know, you never know, he could have signed.
And you mentioned Max Grassi. He, I believe, is the newcomer from the BCHL, but a point-of-game guy there?
He's been a point-of-game guy for 3 years in the BCHL. He also won a championship playing with Kyle Turris a few years ago at Burnaby. So, you know, every guy this year that we got has won some sort of a championship. Justin McRae and Scott Wasden and Max Grassi, Jordan White, even Wyatt Hamilton, one of our new players, they've all won a championship at a national level or their league level. And that's one of the things that we want to bring in, was guys that know how to win and bring character to our hockey team.
So it sounds like, Coach, you're not just going for the most talented players right now. You're going for those character players, hey?
You know what? We found out that character and hard work can overcome a lot of talent. And we've had some talented players here over the years that never produced. And one of the things that we really want to bring this year was guys that were captains before. And guys that want and that know how to win and bring that culture into our dressing room. And every guy this year we've brought in has been a captain or he's won a national title. So we're pretty proud of the accomplishments that we did in the recruiting. It's just a matter of translating that into the ice and making the playoffs in Canada West.
Coach, you talked about you got the seven guys returning from the back end. That was something you really struggled at with, was getting defensemen who could score, or at least point production, out of your defensemen last year. Craig Lineker did have an off-year scoring from previous years. What are we looking at on the defensive core this year?
Well, you know, guys like Matt Pepe and Max Gortichuk, Craig Lineker, they're all a year older. Theron Yeo is healthy. Theron Yeo only played 6 games for us last year. And when he's been in the lineup this year, he's been a really good offensive first unit power play. So, you know, I know he can play the power play. He missed 25 games last year. And in the playoffs, he could have been one of our, probably was our best player. So if these guys stay healthy, you know, we have a really good defensive core. You know, Ryan Kakoski, that you never notice him on the ice because he just doesn't make mistakes or no glaring weaknesses in his game. Same thing with John Flatters, who's probably been one of our better defensemen, who played up front for us last year. So we're happy with our defensive core. They do have to jump up into the rush, and we have to score in power play.
And Coach, Jerry Fest obviously no longer with the team. Tell us about the newcomer, Jordan White, from the Western League.
Well, Jordan White played 2 years in the Western Hockey League with Portland, and you know, he's a guy that played in the Royal Bank Championship game with Prince George a few years ago, and you know, he brings a steady influence to our goaltending course. He played against Minnesota Duluth and played exceptionally well for half the game, and we're very confident in him. He's got 4 years a junior, and he competes really hard. He's going to be pushing Frankie down the road, you know, to play more minutes.
So, Coach, break us down, though. So it's going to be Justin McRae, Tyler Ruel, and Jeff Lynch on the first line, or our line, and then you're going to have Dalton Pajak, Max Grassi, and Brandon Campos on the second line, correct?
Yeah, and then what we'll do is we'll have kind of our high-energy line with Brennan Sawney and Jordan Ingles and Scott Wasden. That's going to be our high-energy line to get us going. Chip the puck and finish the hits. And then we have a line of Matthew Schneider and Kyle Block and Jason Lynch, all big guys, all 6'1", 225, that can punish you physically, and that's what we want from our fourth line, is to not make mistakes and keep things simple and take the body. And you know, right now we have Wyatt Hamilton, who's out. You can talk about the injury. He's got mono. He's out till the end of October, so it's an unfortunate situation for him, and we're still waiting for Keith Vojtěchuk to come back from surgery on his hip that happened 6 months ago. So we are battling with a little bit of an injury situation right now, but we have enough guys to fill a roster.
So you don't have to have defensemen playing forward this year to start.
No,
right?
Not yet. You know, if the situation arises like we did last year, we'll have to do it, but And we're really happy with our team. We're happy with their work ethic. And, you know, we need a win here, especially in Regina, if not 2-2, to stay atop the Canada West. That's our goal, absolutely, is to make the playoffs and cut down our goals against from last year.
Coach, I do have to bring it up, and thanks for doing this, is, you know, obviously with you guys playing the NCAA teams, you know where I'm going with this one. You guys are one of the teams really in the spotlight of this whole thing. Milan Dragicevic, your thoughts, UBC. What can you tell me? Your thoughts, UBC, going NCAA.
Well, you know, to be 100% honest with you, it's not something that I'm discussing with our players. It's, you know, there's been a lot of media surrounding Simon Fraser going. You know, with our situation, it's business as usual. You know, however, on the positive side, you know, we went down to Minnesota and saw what it's like to play at a college atmosphere with sold-out buildings, where the school spirit really gets behind and everyone's wearing their hoodies for their teams. You know, it was quite impressive. A lot of guys are used to playing in front of 5,000-7,000 people coming from the Western Hockey League. So, you know, if UBC does decide to apply to the NCAA within the next, you know, 10-12 months, we'll definitely support it. And if not, then we'll just go as business as usual. And I think there's really positives, you know, to both us staying in Canada West and us going to NCAA.
Coach, just talking to a lot of coaches, the feeling I'm getting, though, you guys kind of do need an answer soon, don't you?
Well, you know, it's something that's been a topic of discussion from recruits because obviously it's in the media spotlight. We were in Minnesota, and the first question the reporters asked was, when's UBC going NCAA? And that's coming from the reporters in Minnesota. So, you know, it's a topic of discussion from the Western Hockey League and maybe an area of concern. And, you know, it's a situation where right now we just don't have control. And we just do business as usual and just go about our business. And if UBC Athletics and the president make a decision that this is what we're doing, then we're going to support it regardless.
The last topic on this, Coach, if you don't have an answer, though, in a year or two, especially with the Western League players, it might start really affecting your recruiting negatively. That's sort of what I see, no?
Yeah, you know, and you know, until it happens, until UBC makes a formal application, then, you know, we're still recruiting major junior players, and that's just the way it is. We have to do that. And, you know, we don't want to get behind the eight ball from other teams and lose players because of hearsay that UBC is going NCAA. It hasn't happened yet. So right now it's everything as is. And until I'm told to stop recruiting major junior players, then I'm going to still keep doing it.
Cool. And, Coach, just if you can give us a sense here, because obviously you former coach of the Vancouver Giants, what is the quality difference between maybe if you could just sort of, you are an expert here, NCAA hockey and major junior? Where is it different at all? Obviously the players are older in NCAA. What's the quality of hockey difference?
The quality of hockey, it's a little bit different hockey. The NCAA, you know, from the teams that we've played in the past, what they do is they recruit really skilled hockey players, guys that can skate. They don't have to be overly big. They don't have to be overly physical, but they recruit skilled hockey players that can skate. And you're going to see a lot of those from the Western Hockey League as well. But I think one of the things that's purely evident of when we played the NCAA over the last many years is that come the third period, we have a hard time, you know, keeping up because they just wear us down with their puck movement and with their skating ability. And I think that's the biggest difference is you don't see a lot of guys that are 6'2", 6'3", tough guys playing in the NCAA. And those guys are a lot of guys that are 5'8", 5'9", that are exceptionally skilled and that can skate and move the puck. And they play in the big ice surface there. And you have to be able to skate and move the puck, and I think that's the biggest difference. And I'm a big pro for the Western Hockey League as well because I played there and I coached there as well. So, you know, they're both great leagues, and it's also a good avenue to get the NHL from both leagues.
Great. Milan Dragicevic, Coach, best of luck in Regina. Hope to talk to you soon, and it's fun to get the season finally underway.
Yeah, we're excited. Thank you very much.
I'm Milan Dragicevic, head coach for the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team.
Yeah, 1-4 in the preseason, although some tough opponents there, the AHL's Abbotsford Heat and then the two NCAA teams, so at least, you know, some challenging competition for the Thunderbirds to really see where they're at.
You can't really go by that record. You mentioned Abbotsford,
yeah.
AHL.
An AHL team.
Yeah. And NCAA Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Yeah.
Minnesota Duluth. So
love it though in Minnesota. Hey, like with the hockey
that.
Following yeah, and the 7,000 fans. I mean, that's just outstanding.
On I thought it was very cool. He said on a Sunday because everybody's home watching football. And keep in mind, that was a Sunday where the Vikings weren't playing.
No, they were playing the Monday night.
They were playing on the Monday night.
Yeah.
I had a tough time last night. What did you do? Did you watch TV last night? Were you watching TV?
What was I doing? I was watching the Canucks game and then between periods of bits and pieces of the football game. Yeah.
See, I had to leave both to watch Dexter at 8.
Mm. I quickly lost interest in the Canucks game after the 4-1 score. But
when I left, it was like 2-1 or something.
Yeah,
it was like 2-1 or maybe. Anyways.
But the men's hockey team, consistency is something that they have to improve upon, I think, heading into this season. It was interesting. A lot of these two-game series, it would be one outcome one night and then the complete opposite the next. They opened the season at Calgary last year, a 4-3 win in the first game and then getting killed 10-1 in the next game. And stuff like that was going on throughout the season. With the fact that there's fewer playoff spots, they need to have better consistency.
Well, I like what I'm hearing from Coach in that, almost similar to what you're hearing with the Canucks, trying to get the quality people into this team. And, you know, the defense did struggle scoring last year. No question about it. And you got to figure it's only going to be good that they've got 7 returning defensemen, which has actually been pretty rare for this team. And then up front, you know, let's keep our eye on Justin McCrae, a newcomer from the Western League. Matching up with Jeff Lynch, who was their second leading scorer last year. And the other guy on that line is, Tyler Rupp, who was actually, you know, he battled injuries during the regular season, was outstanding in the playoffs. And then the second line, Brandon Campos with Max Grazzi and Dalton Pajak, who also battled injuries. And as did Brandon Campos last year. So you just see it. You've got out of their top 6 forwards, you've got 2 new guys, mm-hmm. one from the Western League, one from the BCHL, 3 guys who battled injuries last year, and your second leading scorer. So there's optimism hearing Coach talk there, and we'll find out right away. And back to the NCAA, you know, Milan Dragicevic, obviously what I got there is he's going to coach regardless. Mm-hmm. He likes his job. He likes coaching CIS hockey, but almost sounded like there was a twinkle in his eye looking at the potential if there's NCAA hockey.
Oh, absolutely.
You could hear that.
You could hear that. But at the same time, he curbed his comments to say that until there's anything definitive, it's business as usual. So
he didn't go there, but you could hear when he was talking about the NCAA. And you could see that's, I mean, you know, I've actually heard some negative things about UBC students with the way they attended the Vancouver Canuck training camp. Apparently, the Canucks normally get, when they go Whistler or Victoria, wherever it is, normally get about 1,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they're getting 300. And that, I heard that.
I think it's easy to forget, not that I've done
that
any.
That school wasn't in.
Well, I not that I've done any kind of scientific formal research here, but I think it's easy to overlook the fact that UBC is such an international school and so much of the makeup is students that come from places where hockey is not necessarily the big thing. So, you know, it's a school the size of UBC. It can be a little bit misleading as far as what a hockey following is like compared to, say, a school in Ontario.
I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
it is the Canucks, though, right?
Yeah, it's the Canucks. And, you know, if I'm an international student and I've been here for 1 year.
Yeah, what's the big team in town, right?
Most of these people are following the Canucks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you meet people there from, I met a girl from Russia.
Yeah.
She knows the Canucks.
Well, Russia's a hockey country, though.
Okay, but you know what I mean here. These people seem to take to hockey. And hockey, what hockey does have going for it for the international fans is it is very similar. It's basically soccer on ice.
Yeah.
In essence.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right? It is soccer on ice. Not to simplify it too much, but it is. Mm-hmm. Unlike baseball.
A little more physical. Boards as well.
You know what I mean. There's a net.
No, you're absolutely right.
There's a net. Yeah. You know, soccer, basketball. Because soccer, basketball, hockey are in essence the same sport. When you break
and
down.
And lacrosse too, if you want to throw.
They are in essence the same sport.
Yeah.
Where baseball football. Even football's the same.
Speaking of baseball,
because you've got to get to that end. Baseball's the original game.
Speaking of baseball, update on the AL Central. It's actually now 5-5. Detroit put one up in the top of the eighth to tie it at four. The ninth was scoreless, and then in the top of the tenth, Detroit went up 5-4. But the Twins have since tied the game. Just trying to get the
Nick Punto.
Let's see here. Matt Tolbert singles on a ground ball to center field. Michael Kadire scores. So there is one out, and it's a tie game. And there's two runners on, including one at third. Tolbert's at first, and Alexi Casilla is at third. So it's coming right down to the wire there in Minnesota. This is their chance here to get the win with the runner on third.
One out.
Yeah, and one out.
Runner on third.
Although the double play possibility is still there. They got a runner
first
on first.
And third. So.
Yeah.
I've got an 0-2 count. What do you have?
0-2, yeah. Oh, we're just awaiting the pitch here.
I'm watching this.
It's a ball.
Inside. Where's the ball? You're ahead of me.
Yeah, inside fastball.
How are you ahead of me?
I don't know. I'm connected to the wireless network here, so this is fun.
Ball inside.
Yeah, there it is for you. Yeah.
What do you got?
Waiting for the next pitch.
We're watching baseball. We're bringing play-by-play. So we're one just, we're, two, we're, we're, one re- out.